starter's hands.
Are you ready to go? GNCC Racing!
Hey everybody, welcome to the Fly Racing Ride-X 365 podcast presented by ERX Motorpark. We are coming at you tonight from the Coutu Motorsports Shop in Princeton, Minnesota. We were down at ERX today doing a little trail work, saw a little snowcross testing going on, making our way back north, and we're stepping in here and kicking off the snowcross podcast season with our old co-host Robbie Malinowski. How you doing, Robbie?
Good, Gary. How are you doing?
I'm doing outstanding, man. Before we get started here, I want to say a big thanks to Fly Racing for being a big part of everything we do and presenting sponsor of the podcast. Fly riders all over the podium in Duluth last week at the snowcross opener, including Cole Coutu on that pro light podium on Sunday. In fact, we're going to be giving away a new Fly F2 carbon helmet this week, so the listen later in the show, because that's going to be where we give you the clues on how you can win that. So stay tuned a little bit later on, and we got a nice I think it's the Hi-Vis yellow and orange, so it's snowcross ready for somebody who wants to nab a new helmet and go riding or racing. Also want to thank Amsoil is a big part of everything we do at Ride-X 365. All of our oils and additives, a lot more than just oil and additive, brake cleaner, brake fluid, antifreeze. Check out the website, there's a lot more there than just the oil and things you might normally think of or see. But so thanks to Amsoil. Also thank you to CNA Pro Skis. They are the presenting sponsor of all of our coverage this year of the East Coast Snowcross Series. Also Stud Boy Traction. They are the presenting sponsor of all of our ISOC coverage, which we've already got a couple of big things up on the website from the weekend. Again, ERX. Just about DNF the recorder. ERX behind the podcast as well. Like I said, we were down there today, and a little bit later we're going to have the ERX pit stop where we will check in with Jeremy Meyer and see what's going on testing at ERX right now, but some things coming up not too long, and we'll get into the Thursday night series. Also, Brothers Motorsports. Brothers is behind all of our District 23 moto and off-road coverage in the summer, so thanks to those guys. Fox Shocks as well. They're on right now. Fox Shocks on a lot of, if not all, of the Articats that did really well this weekend in Duluth. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for helping out there on the website, magazine, everything that we do. Numbers keep growing, and I'm pretty pumped about what's coming up this season. So let's kick things off with that. Robbie, impressions from Duluth.
Smaller track than I thought. I thought for sure we'd have a real big, big track. But all in all, pretty good.
You like the track?
Yeah, it was all right. They let it get rough. I thought it was good that way. They definitely didn't groom too much, which definitely made it a challenge. It looked like it was tough. A lot of crashes, a lot of guys falling off. So I think anytime you have that going on, that's a positive.
Yeah, I kind of really liked it myself, honestly. Sometimes you go there and I feel like Duluth is one of those same old races. But, last year going down the hill a little bit, they did it again this year. I didn't have to ride it, but I really liked that step down into the, kind of went down into the hole. I don't know, downhill start was different. Cole Coutu is sitting in here with, he can speak more to that in a minute. I should mention Cole's in here, he's going to hang out for a bit. We've also got special Chris on a microphone here, in case you don't know Chris Johnson. He occasionally takes a couple of photos, but he's most well known as Special Chris. If you watched the website at all last year, we might have to get him on again this year. He's kind of a Ronnie Mac, Larry the Enticer wannabe. But, Cole, what did you think about the track? You on the podium Sunday, finished the weekend strong. What did you think about the weekend overall?
Yeah, I thought it went good. I thought the track was really good. I liked it a lot better Sunday than Saturday. I didn't really like the downhill start. I thought it was you never really knew if you're going to get through that first corner clean. But yeah, other than that, it went good. Duluth went good. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that the start downhill into the corner, you almost didn't want to be the first guy, right? Because you were going to get punted.
Yeah, you never knew. You never knew really where you were going to get through clean. And then to start out the weekend, it was a really high berm on the inside. And so if you're on the outside, you might thought you had the clean, no one in front of you going around the outside, and then someone might have gotten bumped off into you. I had that happen.
I think about every time on the start, somebody went flying over the berm.
Yeah.
Into traffic. Yeah.
But they knocked it down a little, so that was way better.
Yeah. The rest of it, I like you, Robbie, I thought there'd be a little bit bigger track, and actually they didn't go nearly as far up the hill as normal. I don't know that I minded it, but it was different, and it seemed a little bit more rhythmy going up the hill, right? Like double-double or double-triple.
Yeah, for sure. And then they kind of let the downhill roughen
just
up.
Play out.
But, you know, it was just such a short stretch where they couldn't really do much else than that. You know, it was typically you go up the hill all the way, or at least you wouldn't have that dog leg down the hill, so you'd have a lot more of a straight where you can build some rhythm or some rougher sections. But yeah, all in all, it was pretty good. It looked like they tried to move the finish line out of the way, give the fans a line to see more of the racing, which I think was a great idea. I just maybe not put the finish line on the turn, but it actually added to the excitement having that finish line turning like that. So it's kind of...
Yeah. I liked it. Cole, was it like if you were racing with somebody for position, which at the end of your final you were trying to make a move to get that podium spot, did you kind of have to, I mean, did you have to send it more than normal, or did it take pretty much everything you had to clear that step down anyway?
It was really tough. It actually, during the final, I was running the outside line, and you'd come into it pretty fast, and they let it get rough, and there's a lot of rollers, and it kind of kick you, and you kind of swap a little bit off the face, and that was, it's kind of scary. You never really knew what was going to happen. And then the inside line, they let that get super rough, and there were some ice edges in it, and that was honestly super scary to go off. You never really knew where you were going to go, so I could see why it might be a little exciting for the fans, but it was kind of scary going off as a racer.
But as far as leading into the downhill, it wasn't really any more dangerous or different than if you just had to clear the typical big tabletop at the finish, or right? I mean, because you had plenty of landing room there after, right, to kind of turn and collect yourself?
Yeah, like after the finish line, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was plenty. Yeah, but I don't know how.
It was just the face itself was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, the face is what was gnarly. It was hard because some races there was people not even jumping it because it was just so technical to get a good run to clear it. So if you came into it racing someone fast, you'd usually kind of swap out and not be able to get the actual good drive to clear it, so you'd have to roll it. Like I know one time I came in side by side with someone and we had to roll it, and but like after it was a huge landing, and there was that soft snow, so you kind of had to stay in the line because once you get over drop a ski over the soft snow, you'd kind of get sucked to the outside, and it was quite a bit slower there. But
yeah, no, I like I say, I thought it was pretty interesting, and again, I don't have to ride it, so. Special Chris, thoughts on the weekend?
I thought it was a pretty neat track. It was fun to see everybody back at Duluth this year, and everybody seemed to stay pretty healthy. I didn't see any nasty accidents, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, I think, Robbie, you mentioned a lot of guys coming off or whatever, but it seemed pretty pretty good as far as not a lot of injuries.
Yeah, there was no major,
incidents. That was good. Good turnout. The Sport Light, Sport Class, Pro Light, good numbers. Huge crowd, which always a good crowd at Duluth, but I think with the warm temps, sunny skies, good snow on the track, I think it was one of the better crowds in a while.
What about the mods, G-Dubs? You were a pretty big advocate that you needed mods this year.
Yeah.
Backing that up? Or
no, and I want to be clear on this.
Okay, you be clear.
Because John Daniels, like, chewed my ass the day before Thanksgiving that, you know, I'm a two-faced trying guy with a minivan, a computer, trying to bring down his series. And I never once said that I was completely against it. I just said it's one, I didn't like that the rule change was made mid-season. I always was under the impression that it was a year, you make a big major rule change, it was for a following year. So I didn't like that. And two, I didn't really think that it was going to be the saving answer. I think there's a lot of other costs involved with professional snowcross racing. But all of that said, I don't think the noise was no different. You know, the stock sleds in their form are not any less loud than the pro open sleds were. speed-wise, maybe a little, but I think from just, you know, from appearances, I didn't notice a difference.
Yeah, right. I didn't either.
So, if anybody, you know, I don't know. It kind of pissed me off, this whole thing with JD, because I was just presenting two sides of the argument. I wasn't against it. And then I'm not saying I wasn't against it. I wasn't in favor of the way it happened. But when the fans reacted the way they did, it says something about your fan base. You got to listen to that a little bit, right? But I will say for those fans, if you weren't at Duluth and you were stomping your feet saying you're not going to go to Canterbury, you're not going to go, there's absolutely no difference in the eye test. It's you're getting the same racing.
It looks identical.
Yeah, same racing. In fact, when we were at the test tracks prior to the season, a lot of the guys said that they barely noticed the difference, and that if anything, the sleds are almost easier to ride because there's a little more consistent power through the deep holes and through the, you know, the mods have more maybe overall, but it was sometimes all on or all off.
Right. Yeah. No, I can see that.
So no, I think it was great, and we saw the same three guys at the front of the pack, and that's how it's going to be. And I think that down the road it is going to be better. We saw a couple guys jump up and enter the class that wouldn't have otherwise, so it did help bring a few numbers up, and I say everything's full speed ahead, man.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it too. It was fun to watch everybody at the same level, no one like extremely above the next person. I thought it made for some great racing at Duluth.
Yeah, I think you see it. Maybe it takes a guy a lap or two longer to get around somebody that might normally have went by, because it is a little bit more of a level playing field.
Absolutely.
There was a Articat that was a little better than everybody else there for a while, though.
Not sure who you're talking about.
Tucker Hibbert wins both points races. Pretty much.
Points races?
Yeah.
He just won Duluth.
Well, the two races that count for points. Okay. I'm saying Cody Cam wins the Dominator on Friday night.
I got you. Yeah. Oh, point races.
Yeah. So, nothing crazy changes there. What do we see?
It was a good battle between Tucker and Cody.
The Dominator?
Yeah.
Yeah, great battle. And
Tucker was pissed.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to take Cody's leg off, with his snowmobile.
He came in on him pretty good there.
Yeah.
And then he ends up coming off right after that, right? So he was not – the guy – that's one thing. Tucker's never won a Dominator, which I don't know that he cares that much, but I sure think that he does a little bit.
$10,000.
Yeah, right. And I think he, more than anything, is a guy that wants to have one of everything on his trophy case, right?
He wanted it. That's for sure. He charged hard.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of the Dominator format. I thought this year the qualifying rounds were a little less exciting than they've been in the past. Like, there was no real good battles. But the final, that's what you pay to see, right?
Mm-hmm. I thought there was some serious games being played already.
How's that?
Winning your first heat, slowing down your second heat, getting ready for the final, positioning for the start.
In the actual points
qualifiers,
races.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you're talking Dominator.
Yeah, that was
horrible. The whole only race that was good was the final.
The final. And typically there's a lot of good races.
Yeah.
So I don't know what was up with that. And, again, at Duluth, a lot of times you see in the Dominator and in the actual series races, a lot of passes made up at that corner up at the top of the hill by the ski lift thing, the chair lift, and that was all taken away this year. So
yeah,
I don't know if that.
What did you guys think about the speeds they were achieving around that corner? They were flying around that corner
up at the top. Yeah. Were they?
Yeah, the bottom, you mean, or the top corner?
Up by the Skidoo Articat banners
when they stayed outside.
On the outside, they were just railing around that. Mm. It was pretty fun to watch.
No, I thought it was good. So just briefly touching on Dominator again, how about Corin Todd makes to the semifinals and then gets in through the LCQ?
Yeah, good. Solid. It was good to see. I mean, he's privateer, kind of racing on his own program, so it's good to see him do something there. I would have liked to see a little more, like Saturday, Sunday, out of him, just the start he had from Friday. It was like good qualifiers, so finals. So
yeah, in some ways it was a little bit like his MO to start off real hot and then kind of
so it was just kind of a bummer to see that, but it's one race.
And he won a heat, so he's got to feel good about that. And Yeah, who else? So series races in the Pro Open class. Tucker wins both days. Cody second on Saturday. And Adam Renheim second on Sunday. Lincoln Lemieux third both days.
Yep.
Any surprises there?
No, I mean, I had Tucker being super fast. I had Cam being really fast. A little surprised with Renheim, but not really. I mean, I think he's got a little bit of a point to prove with that whole deal, you know, with the whole team moving around and Elias and all that. So I think he's motivated. Obviously, Tucker's super motivated.
Yeah.
Cam, you know, coming off his injury, he's still a little behind. You can tell. He definitely doesn't. By Sunday, he wasn't the same Cody. So I think by the end, I'm a little worried about Tim Tremblay. I think,
yeah.
Like, I know it's only one race, and he's still got a lot of time to go. But and he'll be there, and he'll be consistent. He'll probably win a race, I'm sure, this year. But it's just he's getting a little older. He's had a couple injuries all stemmed together in the last couple weeks. And then he had a long summer of moto.
Right.
And there's been no break.
Right. And you can kind of speak to that you got to have that recovery time,
I think,
right?
I mean, I don't know if that was the best thing for his snowcross career. Not that, and watch, he'll come out this weekend and in wherever we're going, Jackson Hole, and just kill it. But it just seems like that's usually when you stay on the gas that hard and that long and injuries start to mount up and you never really heal 100%. And before you know it, you do run into, and you know, the injury that he had before Duluth wasn't his fault. He broke a belt and crashed. So,
right. Sled gets him. He ends up with a pretty big hole in his leg.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, then he did also, coming into the weekend, he ends up with bronchitis too. So I know he wasn't feeling well.
Right.
I think each day it just started to compound.
Add up and compound. Yeah. And, you know, new sled. That's one thing that we haven't talked about is that new sled. So they got some work to do yet on the Ski-Doo. You can tell that they're a little nervous yet with the riding of it. Like, a lot of guys are still figuring it out. So I think within another week or two, they'll be fine. But
they've got to be happy, though, right? Three pro podiums? I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's a good...
I thought they looked strong.
Yeah, I thought even in preseason testing, the Ski-Doo looked really good.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, if they're this good now, then they're going to be pretty good within not too long a time. So.
Yeah, so getting back to that with the new rules, production-based in the Premier class, pretty good amount of parity, right? I mean, we saw all three brands in most of the class. I mean,
well, the Articat
was strong
better.
All weekend,
yeah,
in all the classes.
Starts, they would just drill everybody on the starts.
Yeah,
so.
And is that all the longer track, or is
no,
it a little
it
bit
was
everything?
Just good combination. They've always been strong on the starts and downhill start, and just, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I have a feeling that they'll definitely be strong the rest of the year, but I don't see it being a Duluth every weekend as far as Articat's starting. So
Cole, two Articat winners in Pro Light. Do you feel like you've got something for them? I mean, not just yourself, but with the Polaris.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I think that we'll be fine. I'm not worried. The Polaris is still a great sled, and you know it's proven to be great. And I love it. I'm comfortable on it.
So on starts, was your biggest issue on starts more just the chaos in the first turn, more than how you got off the line?
Yeah, I had a couple races that I didn't have the best reaction time, and then I also had a couple where I tangled. I had a lot where I tangled. I think we drew 10th pick 3 out of the 4 times.
I went 10, 9, 10, 3 for the weekend of Pete's.
You got somebody else in charge of that for next week?
Nope. Keep it going. Double down.
All right. So let's just kind of run down the list a little bit in the pro class. We talked about Tucker. Cody was right there challenging. Ends up with a second. Not on the box on Sunday. Lincoln Lemieux, 2/3. And I also thought he was maybe the fastest guy at the end of both of those pro finals.
Yeah, he's fit.
Yeah.
That's one thing that Lincoln has more than a Cam or anybody outside of Tucker. I would say Tucker's definitely probably still a little bit more fit. But Lincoln's the fittest rider out there, and Tim's really fit as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to be careful. You can't sleep on Lincoln, because
he'll be there at the end.
Yeah, I mentioned to Steve Schering, it's like, you know, I still always think of Lincoln as like the second, like the number two guy on that team, which, you know,
I don't think so anymore.
No, I think it's 1A and 1B, you know, and he'd be a number one on just about every other team. I mean, mm-hmm. So yeah, Lincoln, Renheim with the podium. Peter Narsa had good qualifying rounds, but was kind of mid-pack in the finals. Jake Angove, rookie, kind of struggled, I think, just with the pace and the excitement on Saturday, but was battling with Logan Christian for fifth on Sunday for a while, ends up seventh. That was good. Logan Christian was fast both days, but didn't quite stay where
he was. Fast was Dylan Hall.
Right?
Dylan Hall was really good.
Yeah, he led a few races for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he kind of didn't hang around.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure. I mean, that's a different ball game for him.
Yeah.
He's used to Canadian rounds. But, man, he started out up front often and was doing pretty well.
Yeah. No, it was good to see all the Canadian guys down again. I mean, the numbers in that pro class were great. Typical Duluth, I think, for this round. Yeah, who else? So you mentioned Renheim having a little chip on his shoulder with Ischel. So just days before the race, we find out Elias goes home to Norway. He's recovering from a broken femur. Did you know anything about that until just recently?
No, not a clue. Not until we got up to Shearings and started testing. And we were wondering where Elias was. And then once he showed up, we were watching him ride. And we're like, well, what's wrong with him? Because he was clearly not the same Elias. And then, yeah, kind of snuck out, rumors leaked that he broke his femur, broke his wrist dirt biking this summer, and it was pretty late in the summer.
I wonder how much anybody knew about that. Do you think?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think that Skidoo or Boss even knew that?
Probably not.
Because there sure seemed like there was.
I'm sure they found out after they signed the deal.
Oh, and by the way, so anyway, that's a bummer because he's definitely Mr. Excitement, right? And would have added a lot to the opening weekend drama. And the word is that he will be back for Canterbury the second week in January, but I've also heard that that's pretty optimistic that that'll even happen. So,
well, he slowly was getting worse at Shearing's testing. Like, his first day was his best day, and like second, third, fourth, I think he rode 4 days. His fourth day, he was bad. Like, he could hardly ride.
Yeah, and I mean, femurs don't just heal up either. That's a tough one. So, all right, Pro Light. We see two winners out of the Articat trailer. Travis Kern wins on Saturday, and Dan Benham on Sunday. Like you said, the Cats look good all weekend. Cole, you were on a podium there. Who else was on the podium?
Martin Mullen.
Martin Mullen looked good all weekend, right? And Marcus Ogemar, is that his?
Yeah.
Right?
Looked yeah.
good. He was on a podium. And again, besides the Cats winning, some pretty good parity in that class. You saw all the brands up there. Chris, any observations from Pro Light?
Not too much. I was swamped taking photos that round, so I didn't get to check out a lot of racing. I was just busy snapping photos.
Anybody look good in your photos?
I have to say Colt Coutu looked really good.
I like how he says that as Jeff's staring
right,
at him
make
right
sure
now.
He justifies his paycheck.
Yep.
Jeez.
Need another zero, please.
Well, speaking of photos, I thought the new Fly gear looked good. Fly kind of stepped up a bit with some of their snowcross gear, and two or three helmet combos this year and a couple of custom jerseys for the season. I thought stuff looked good.
Yeah, I'm digging the new Fly gear. I love the baby blue with orange helmet.
Yeah, a lot of guys
I really
that.
Like that one.
There's a lot of it out there.
Yeah. Well,
Cole, were you wearing the orange and white jersey all weekend?
For the final, I did on Sunday.
And yeah. What were you wearing in qualifiers?
The solid orange one.
Okay, like last year's style?
Yeah.
With the black sleeves or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that stuff looked good. Sport classes, Trent Whitworth gets a win? No. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was sport. And who won the second day? Or the,
the first day, Riley Bester won.
Bester won, so two Cat wins again there. Jay Lohr looked really good in sport class. He I think he won three of the four heat races. Had a podium on the first day and then got wadded up on the start of the second day. Your guy Mitchell Thielen had a podium on Saturday, second day of the class.
Yeah.
So I was just telling somebody today when we were at ERX, a guy was telling me that he likes to watch the races on live stream, and that he sat and watched all day waiting to get to the pro classes, and then his wife made him turn the TV or turn it off and do something else. And I said, well, if you get to know the guys in those sport and some of the amateur and junior classes, it's actually really good racing. So, and I thought that was the case again this weekend.
I thought all around this past weekend was excellent racing. There's so many people in the sport class that make it interesting, same as pro light, and there's a lot in pro even compared to a few years ago. I thought there was just excellent racing all around at Duluth.
Yeah, I thought it was good, and I thought it was just a good vibe in general. There was, you know, the whole thing with the sled change didn't make a difference on the track, and it didn't seem like there was much drama associated with it. The fuel deal, not a real big issue?
No, nothing. I mean, it's, I think we all built it up to be such a big deal, and it turned out to be really nothing.
Yeah, and I get there was a little complaining from some of the junior classes having to...
The only thing that has been an issue is the earpiece thing. That's one thing we haven't touched on yet.
Oh, the receiver, yeah. So I'm familiar with those things from car racing, but talk a little bit about what's gone on this year and what's changed with that.
They mandate a earpiece where they can actually talk and communicate to the racers.
And so, Cole, did you hear it during the race at all? Was it how much was it used? Or did you have yours in?
I hope Carl's not listening to this.
But it's hard to put it that in when you got your iPod on. Is that what you're
doing? Yeah. No,
it didn't work, right?
It's that's a touchy subject. I'm not impressed with that at all, to be honest.
And so does anybody know how often were they on the...
They weren't. They said they weren't going to go on as, like, they're going to try to stay off it, is what they said.
What was Tucker's words in the writers' meeting?
Tucker said something along the lines of, I don't know how to put it, but this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So. That's putting it pretty clearly.
Yeah, he's got a pretty strong opinion about it. I think there's a lot of riders that do, though. And at the end of the day, I think where ISOC made a mistake was they just did not do any testing with it. They mandated it going into Duluth, and there was no testing, no idea if it would work or not, but they invested into it, and they felt like with the money invested, they had to go through with it. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. They're going to have to eat that money. And if they try to mandate it, then they're just going to have a mess on their hands and have a bunch of people.
Like in car racing, it's used, like say there's a caution, they line everybody up for the restarts, right? So I don't really know where it would be that applicable.
We should do that in snowcross.
Yeah, have yellow flags.
Mandatory yellow, like line them all up. Well, especially after Duluth, because it looks like Tucker's going to lap the field again. So I think we should do that. What's so funny?
I didn't even really think it was the dumbest idea ever. I'm not really sure when they're going to use it or how they're going to use it. But because I don't know about in your class, Cole, but like in the pro class, isn't there one-way communication with the team owner or somebody in the tower too?
For the rider?
Yeah, or no?
They can if they want to.
So now all of a sudden you got two people talking in your ears?
You just wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to. No, I think it needed to be tested. They didn't test it. And then they were, I don't know.
Okay, well,
it's a big mess.
Well, that's not our problem.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, hey, let's take a quick sponsor break. And when we come back, we'll do a little contest to give away that Fly F2 Carbon helmet. And then we will hear from Jeremy Meyer at ERX Motor Park and get back with you guys. And we'll talk a little bit about what's coming up in 2 weeks on the snowcross schedule and go from there. So, hang in there. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up, Ride X365 fans? Colton Moore here. And this is a non-commercial where Fly Racing tells you how they make cool products and sponsor awesome athletes. I've been with Fly Racing for years now. Not only do they keep me safe and protected, but they have some of the sickest gear you can get. I've went down several times, and their gear alone keeps me safe. And also being out on the track, being out riding freestyle, I have people ask me where I get my gear, and I just tell them Fly Racing, go check it out.
Weekends are precious, which is why you use AMSOIL Synthetic Motor Oils to protect the toys that make your weekends so great. You can also give your weekday vehicle that same protection. AMSOIL Signature Series Motor Oils deliver 75% more wear protection than required by a leading industry standard, giving you above and beyond protection 7 days a week. See the proof and order for direct-to-your-door delivery at AMSOILProtects.com.
Hey, so we're going to give away a new Fly Racing F2 Carbon helmet this week, but you have to do a little homework to win. The F2 Carbon helmet is the closest thing there is to a factory helmet in a box. Carbon fiber Kevlar construction, dual density EPS liner, custom rubber trim nose guard, and lightweight machined aluminum visor screws, stainless steel D-rings, all just part of the key features on this helmet. This particular helmet we're giving away is a snowmobile racing specific carbon forged cold weather helmet. It's the high-vis orange combo. Comes with the vent plugs, built-in breath deflector, both of which can be removed in the summer for moto use or whatever you do in the summer. To win this helmet, you have to name five riders who won main events at Duluth and were wearing an F2 helmet. You also need to include your helmet size because this particular prize is size specific, and we're going to ship it right from our office next week. So name five riders, include your helmet size, five riders who won a main event in Duluth, your helmet size, and email it to contest@ridex365.com. We'll pick the first entry with the correct answer and the correct helmet size and ship it out before we leave for Jackson Hole on Wednesday. Hey everybody, time now for the ERX Motor Park Pit Stop. We're checking in with ERX Director of Business Development, Jeremy Meyer. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing good today, Gary. How are you?
Great, man. Snowcross season's finally here. We're hitting full swing. We were at the track today at ERX. The track's getting bigger. A lot of guys are starting to take up residence there. What's been shaking for you? What's new and what's coming up?
Well, you know, we're getting the track built. We had a nice cold spurt there before Thanksgiving, and let us make a bunch of snow, and we got a couple of days in this week where we can expand on that, and it's just going to keep adding on. Like you said, a lot of the guys are starting to show up and starting to put their laps in, and you know, we got a new practice schedule this year, and obviously available for rentals on the days that we're not open, but everybody seems pretty pleased with it. And you said the snowcross season's underway, and that just means everything else is going to fall behind it with the ice guys and the cross-country guys.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I've been coming down, as you know, about once a week to the track. And when I was there 2 weeks ago, it was a real small track. I mean, we had hardly any cold weather up to that point, and I was surprised you even made snow in the time that you did. But just in this last week, we kind of went the other way. The weather got warm again, but in those few days that we had, you really actually probably tripled or quadrupled what you had, and you're almost a full size there. So I think you got to be happy with that.
Oh yeah, we're definitely happy with it, and you know, it's got some pretty big jumps out there right now, and I know the guys. You see a lot of guys out there riding with it, and you know, it's that time of year. You know, we got open a little earlier than we normally do, but we're going to be on schedule for everything that's coming up December and beyond.
So I was looking at the website today and the practice days. You've kind of made some changes to the schedule from previous years, but the days are all listed on your calendar if people go to your website. In addition to practice, the Thursday night, the Grassroots Series coming up in December. I believe the first one is, what, December 14th? Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, our Thursday night Grassroots Series starts on the 14th, 5:30. It's, you know, following that on the 27th, we have our Learn to Ride clinics that FXR puts on. And you know, a number of the pros come out. It's a real focus this year is getting more kids on the lower levels in the snowmobile racing. And, you know, we think the Grassroots Series that we have throughout the winter and that Learn to Ride clinic are great opportunities. You know, you don't need a lot of experience. You don't need big budgets. Come out, you know, and race and have fun in a safe and family-friendly environment.
So with that Grassroots Series, is there a way that for people who maybe haven't been part of it in the past or want to check it out, is there a way for them to get pre-registered or find out what the Thursday night event is like or the schedule? Is that information all on the website?
Yep, just go to ERXMotorPark.com. We have it all there. Go under the events, and there's the Learn to Ride clinic on there. You know, we've had, you know, Kyle Pleen's been out there in the past, Zach Mason, Andrew Carlson has been out there. Sure, Andrew, even though he's going to cross country this year, he'll be out there again. We're finalizing who our professional riders are going to be out there to teach this year, but We know the list is growing day by day, and we got some pretty cool things. We're going to try to partner with the Hunter Hool Foundation and get some get the ability to kind of get a scholarship program going for that. So we're working with them, and we'll hope to announce some information here pretty soon. But on that, just go to erxwaterpark.com and take a look at it. I was actually joking with my wife the other day about, you know, hey, kid's six now, you know, got to get them out there. So, but, you know, we got 120 riders. You know, they get half-day lessons. It's on track. It's off track. You get lunch with the pros. You know, they learn about sections of the tracks, whether it's cornering or how to hit a jump or go through, you know, a rhythm section. And then they also come inside and you know, they do some whiteboard work, and you know, they just talk about what it takes to race and kind of the attitude side of it. So, you know, you get a guy like Kyle Pelino out there. He's got a lot of energy, and people really feed off him. The kids feed off him. So you get that experience out there. You know, when you're 6, 7, 8 years old, what a great opportunity.
Yeah, I've been down for that clinic a few times just to kind of cover it, take some photos, and it's a real relaxed atmosphere. I mean, it's definitely a learning atmosphere and a learning environment, but, you know, a lot of kids come out who are sort of ERX regulars, but for the first-timers, it's really a no-pressure, fun way to get your feet wet, and it's, you know, there's no, like I say, no pressure, no, it's not a race environment. It's just have some fun and really learn from the best guys in the sport. So yeah, that's a good, good event. So I hope we get some new people out there for you.
Definitely. And then it's right there at the end of December. And, you know, it leads right into a Thursday night grassroots race, I believe. So, actually leads into a whole weekend of racing.
I think there's a regional,
regional going out there, an ISOC regional. So it's, you have an opportunity to hone your skills and then get on the track and do a little bit of racing.
And for newcomers at the grassroots events, the Thursday night events, there's classes for everyone too, right? So it's not like they're having to come out and race with experienced guys. There's a lot of beginner classes, and especially with the younger kids, they kind of get in with kids their own ages and abilities.
Oh, 100%. You know, that's why ERX was built. It was a place for people to come and learn about the sport and learn to participate in the sport of snowmobile racing. And, you know, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary in 2018. And, you know, coming in January and beginning of February, we're going to have a pretty big event here that helps us celebrate. It's going to be a 3-day event that we're going to have more information out in the next week or so. And we think everybody's from grassroots to all the way up to the OEMs and pros are going to be happy to see. So.
Well, that's good news. I know that was initially on the calendar, and then some things changed, but that's exciting to hear.
We originally talked about doing the snow boundaries again, and I think that's still our long-term goal, but I think that we have an opportunity to still have an event and serve the industry and serve the, you know, snowmobile race fans and as well as the consumers on a 3-day event here right at the beginning of February. So.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I look forward to more info on that, and be happy to help push that out as soon as we know more about it. But
we'll get you talking about it. We're going to pump it up pretty big. So,
well, and then the one other thing that we haven't touched on coming up in December, which is what starts tomorrow. We're already there. Snowbike cross qualifier coming up.
Yeah, you know, we've been working with Joe and his team. You know, he did Terracross out here this fall, and he's going to bring the snow bikes back here coming up on the 16th. So, he just put all that information out there. And, you know, those top snow bikers in the world are going to be in town that week and going to be racing as a qualifier. So it's just one more event that we're adding to the whole ERX package.
Yeah, and I think for anybody who has an interest in snow bikes, that's a really good one to come out and watch, because I don't think they always lend themselves the best to a national snowcross track, but I know for that weekend, Joe and then your staff there will develop kind of a snow bike specific course, so that'll be a real good race to watch. I know last year, everybody who's part of that scene said that was, you know, one of the better courses all year. So, yeah, that's coming up on the 16th, and then yeah, I think that information, I know we just posted today, so if people want more, that's available. And again, for everything going on at ERX, it's erxmotorpark.com, correct?
Yeah, erxmotorpark.com. You know, we're busy setting our 2018 schedule, and Motor Park's going to be in the name, but we're going to be more than just that. We're looking at bull riding, and we have an Extreme 5K coming in May. We have a bull riding event in June, monster trucks again, the torque races, more music, more concerts, and you know, you're involved in a little thing there too, there, Gare.
Yeah,
coming out here a couple times next year.
Yeah, like I say, I've been coming down just about once a week here for the last 2-3 months, working on an off-road motocross course. And boy, I got to say too, every time I come down there, I'm starting to know pretty much every nook and cranny of that facility. And man, it's such a beautiful, amazing. That piece of land is unbelievable. I mean, the things we see when we're back cutting trail on that, it's amazing.
Yeah, you've been working your butt off, and I know that event's going to be really cool. The two times that we do that, the end of April, I believe, is what we're trying to shoot for there. And but I've seen your map and your layout and the work you guys have been doing on it, and you know, we're super excited to have you guys come down and do that. It's just another opportunity to, you know, use our 400 acres.
Yeah, we just got in the. I'll go into more on the moto thing on another show, but we just kind of finished everything up today, and. We're able to actually ride the complete course other than the snowcross track. And we're at going to be 7 to 8 miles with the snowcross track. And we've got a few guys, like some accomplished racers out there who have nothing but rave about it. And they've kind of even had some input on it. So yeah, I'm pumped about that. And we'll get into that as its own thing later. But yeah, just all kinds of cool things happening at ERX. So for anybody who hasn't been to the facility, just check it out once and you'll be back for, you know, a number of other things. It's really a great place. Like I say, every time I come out there now, I'm just blown away by the new things I find and the potential you guys have there.
Yeah, and I think just follow us on Facebook. We got a lot of cool things, corporate events, ride days, you know, just so many different kind of events that you wouldn't expect a motor park to have. And we're going to fill this calendar up in 2018 and 19, and we're going to have a little something for everything, from outdoor enthusiasts to fitness enthusiasts, snowmobiles and off-roaders. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you follow us and keep an eye on the schedule and get out here and have some fun.
All right. Well, thanks, Jeremy. That once again is the ERX Motor Park Pit Stop. And we'd like to do that every month on the podcast. Keep in touch with all the new things going on there. And yeah, so right now we'll get back into our regular coverage with the boys here.
I'm so glad we're still recording.
All right. With that fresh crack of the Coors Light, we're going to get back into it here with our panel here at Coutu Motorsports. So during the break, we were talking a little bit about some guys we didn't hit on, Pro Open, Pro Light. Ryan Springer, go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible weekend for him.
I wouldn't have started quite that hard. Well,
you ask him. Ask him how his weekend went. He'll tell you the exact same thing. He was not happy with it. He's harder on himself than I would ever be on
him.
Well,
that's the thing, is he is so hard on himself.
Yeah, he gets so down on himself, and he loses it. I mean, in Saturday, in the qualifier, he was leading, gets passed, goes off the track on the top of the hill, decides to try to get back on the track on that big triple, just about gets landed on, realizes he can't pull on the track there, darts off the track, sled catches an edge, he whiskies the sled into the stands, hits the banners into the back of a side-by-side, and destroys his sled. I saw the whole thing. Like, it was crazy, and it was like, it just kept getting worse from there. That was like the highlight for him, and he's way too good of a rider, works way too hard, and he looked great testing, so it's not like he can't go fast, and it's not like he can't ride, but man, he had a tough weekend, and he's beating himself up over it, and he shouldn't. He just needs to put it behind him and move on.
Well, the thing is, he looked great up till that point.
Right.
Unfortunately, that was the first race of the weekend. I mean,
but you know what? He didn't even qualify for the Dominator.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know if he looked great. He looked good in that heat while he's leading.
I'm just saying that he could have really started building right from the start there, and it just went completely the other way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, no, I thought Springer probably put in more laps than anybody at preseason and looked good. And
that's the thing, though, when you switch a brand and you hop on it, everything feels new at the start of the year. And I would know because I switched a lot.
But, yeah, I've ridden a couple sleds.
Yeah. You always feel great before Duluth, and then you go to Duluth, and then you kind of like forget all those things you were practicing, and you go into these modes, and you lose it. And
you struggle a little bit. I always say, like, Canterbury, if you can't have your sled figured out by Canterbury when you're on a new sled, it's going to be a long year. But by then, if you don't have it, if you do have it, you know, you should have it figured out, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot in the past how Duluth is always sort of a variable because it's the first one and whatever. But I feel like this year, Duluth, with the ample time leading up to the race, Duluth was more of a normal. I felt like it was a normal race. Like you kind of should have seen who was ready at that point. It wasn't like,
yeah, but everybody kind of stayed to their own. Like Articat stayed.
Yeah, over on their you didn't end. Get to see head to head.
You didn't get to see a whole lot together.
Yeah, but I also So you're right because
and Articat didn't get their sleds till later, and sometimes that's not a bad thing. You don't. I mean, one thing that we do is we love to test as mechanics and team owners and everything. And if you have less time to test, sometimes you're better off just
right.
riding what
there,
you have.
It might be pretty good right
and,
out of the crate.
And maybe and there's some of that too this weekend, so who knows.
But I do think Cat put a lot of time in the spring, and they kind of knew what
oh,
they,
yeah,
they had.
Oh, yeah, their sled's
right?
good.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So, Kyle Pelline, that was another one we talked about.
Never
pretty,
even noticed.
Pretty him. Invisible. Yeah, that's yeah. exactly what, not bad, but just like
yeah, just
not really in the picture.
Not what you're used to. Usually Duluth, he shows up, he's cranking starts, he's up front in the mix.
Chris, you shoot for the Lavallee team when Jeff's not looking. What did you notice with Kyle? Anything out of the ordinary?
I thought he looked pretty good all around. Nothing stood out like crazy. I know he caught a couple tough breaks. I think it was the last race. He got flipped over, and I actually think he got ran over too. At the final race, which was unfortunate to see, hard to recover and come back after that. But
yeah, nothing stood out to me as really bad. I didn't notice him hardly at all. Like he was just always sort of mired in the mid pack. And
I know he had a smile on all week long.
No, I like that guy. I mean, you know, I for the most part like all those guys. And you know, talking about Corin, Todd, and Springer, I want to see those guys do well. I, you know, as a fan, the more competitive the series is, the better, right? So, yeah, we move on to Jackson Hole, new venue, new event. I think nobody really knows what we're in for there. There's as of right now, there's no snow there. What do you think?
I've never been there. I have no clue.
Yeah, I mean, so testing might not happen for anybody. I mean,
yeah, I don't, you know, that's the other thing too that we got to kind of worry about because it is about 6,200 feet, 6,000 feet. So there definitely going to be some testing that's going to need to be done. You wouldn't want to leave it right to the day of racing. But if
no,
we have
so,
to.
But you, I mean, you've been working on the Polaris sled for several years, similar altitude to Deadwood. So you've got to at least have some notes. The Articat guys, I know, did a lot of testing. Was it Island Park in the spring?
Or yeah, that's probably quite a bit
higher. A little
higher
there.
And, like, stock, you know, not a lot of the pro teams had stock sleds.
Right.
So it's kind of, it is a difference. Fuels.
Different fuel.
Fuel,
yeah.
That's a big one, too, actually, is the fuel will play probably the biggest role of change at higher elevation.
And then the Skidoo guys have zero altitude testing with that sled.
Mm-hmm.
Completely new motor. So, you know, typically you go to a new place like this and different elevation, it's a bit of a leveler, you know, again, because people don't have notes. But in this case, it might be a definitely play into the hands of or be a bit of a disadvantage to the Skidoo guys and playing into
yeah,
the,
I don't know.
Yeah, figure it
that
out.
That fuel injection system's pretty slick.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
Smarter than the guy changing the jets?
Yep.
Okay.
So what happened to make Snowcross happen in Jackson? Wasn't there a big ordeal? And
why you got to be so controversial? No, I
what
think
was that whole ordeal.
No, I think what I think what got it started was the Woody's racing team. Paul Woody is from that area and wanted to get a race out there. So I think he invested a lot of time and energy and some money into making it happen. And you know, there's a tradition there with the hill climb, 45-50 years or whatever. It's a well-known venue. But so he gets it together. ISOC gets behind it. Snow King Mountain gets behind it. So it's all a go. And then the city council is apparently the race was initially scheduled and promoted, and they didn't have a permit for it. So then the city council raises a stink. They have a couple of meetings. It was voted down. They were not going to let it happen. They have a couple of meetings, get some local support behind it, and it gets changed. So everything is good now. Although it's going to be a bit of a different race, right? I think we're starting earlier. The finals have to be done by like 8 o'clock on Friday and 9 o'clock on Saturday, so a little, or something like that. That's not, don't quote me on that, but they have to be done earlier than normal.
I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Right?
Being done at a normal
be able to watch
time.
Gold Rush on Friday
yeah, exactly.
night.
Exactly. Get some pizza and watch some Gold Rush.
So, yeah, it's all go. Nobody really knows what we're in for. I had heard there was snow made on the hill, but Jeff or Robbie said there's, like, even nothing on the hill right now.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think Jeff talked to somebody out there and said that there was not a lot of snow. But the
temperatures are there, so
yeah,
I mean they can make
I'm not
snow.
Too and, worried about it.
Yeah, it's just more a matter of teams not being able to test before they get there. So yeah, that's where we're going from here. We got a little, I'm not gonna say lazy with the podcast because we've been trying to do them for the last month. You know, we've been coming down to ERX every Wednesday, working on the cross country moto track. That's something we'll get into later, but. Yeah, either you've been busy, Robbie, or I've been busy. It doesn't work out, but we'll get back on a regular schedule now. Maybe we'll even do one from Jackson. I'll be out there. Actually, Troy, my buddy Troy over in the corner, his brother lives in Jackson Hole. He's going to fly out with me, so we'll be out there.
Hey, Troy.
We'll be out there, what, Wednesday night we get out there? Yeah, we're going to have some elk steaks and hang out a bit. And
what time are the elk steaks done?
They're Thursday at his brother's house. Oh, so.
We just need a dress.
So, we might have a day or so we can get together and do one either from Jackson or for sure one right after the race. We'll talk about what went on out there and how that venue went. And yeah, so anything else, Cole? You look like you got something to say over there.
No, I think I'm good. I wasn't even paying attention last 5 minutes.
How come everybody's got 3 Coors Lights and you don't have any?
Wrong time of the year, I guess.
All right, yeah, well, so thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for checking out the website and the magazine. Things are going well there. We do have some big news coming. We've got a December issue coming out right after Jackson. Some big news coming on a motorcycle race we're promoting, but I won't talk about that tonight. We'll stick to snowcross tonight. And, yeah, we'll get back on a regular schedule at least once a month, if not every few weeks, and have a lot of new content coming up almost every day now from now to the end of the snowcross season. So thanks
what
again.
Do you, what do you got for picks for Jackson Hole?
Man, I not that I hate to say it, just but from a competition standpoint, I think Tucker is going to be tough to beat all year, man. I think they have that sled figured out, and I don't know anything. I just have a feeling this is going to be the last year, and he wanted to put a little point on last year not going as well as he wanted, and I think he wants to put a little point on, you know, how he finishes out. But that said, I'm like you, that when Trombley is 100% healthy, he's going to be in the mix. Cody's going to get better and better as he gets a little healthier. And
do you think Cody's number one played any point of motivation for Tucker?
I don't know, but I love the fact that he did it.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think that was great.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
It had to have been a little bit of a kick in the nuts.
Well, I don't know about that. It's just, why not change it up? I mean, Blair won how many titles and never achieved? He was always 7C.
Yeah.
Tucker's won, I think, 6,500 titles by now, and yeah, he hasn't changed it ever. It looks cool.
I liked it. And that's just Cam, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Motivated? I don't know. Tucker's pretty motivated as
no,
it is, but I'm sure there was a conversation in the trailer.
Oh,
right?
I think so. Yeah.
So, hey, Chris, picks for Jackson?
I'm going to say Sprinter gets on the box.
Really?
Sometime, yeah.
Robbie, what was that? Are you swallowing your tongue?
That'd be great.
Yeah, you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. My turn?
Well, no. Oh. Carry on.
I'm going to say Tucker definitely gets on the box, and probably both nights, I'd have to say, just the way he rode up in Duluth.
Who's the challenger? Who? Cody?
Yeah, I would say Cody Cam.
I'll throw in Lincoln on that.
Yeah,
Lincoln's going to win.
I'm not sleeping on Lemire.
I think
right?
Lincoln's going to win one here, like, within the next – weekend, if not Canterbury.
Right. No, that's good. I think it's going to be a good, you know, a good season.
You put Lincoln like out front early because he never got any starts in those finals. He was coming from the back.
He's one of the few guys that passes at the end of a race, you know.
Yeah, going if he can forward. Get out early, and if he can latch on to like Tucker, if Tucker get him and Tucker get out early or something like that,
and he's not intimidated at all.
No.
So let's hope some of that happens, and we see some good racing. And how are you doing? We're here at your shop. What's the between race schedule? What do you do?
With Cole, it's pretty easy. Just rebuild new sleds like every weekend. We're on our our seventh sled this year, and he's doing quite well. So budgets are good. We keep burning through parts.
You are on your third sled, right?
Yep. We're just wrapping it up. No, it's good. I had a couple unfortunate things happen up at Shearings while we're testing, but
a fire.
Yeah, no big deal. But we're getting through it, and we're ready for Jackson Hole, and I think it's going to be a fun weekend.
So the truck leaves Saturday, and then you guys drive out Monday, was it?
Yep.
Okay. Chris, when are you going out?
Hopefully Saturday.
You kind of live in the truck on the weekends, don't
I
you?
I do. Yeah. I do. It's home away from home.
All right. We'll come over to see you this weekend.
Please do.
I'll find a pizza place.
Thank you.
All right.
I like my pizza.
All right. Hey, thanks again, everybody. We will be back in... no more than 2 weeks. We'll have a little wrap up from Jackson Hole and start to look forward to what goes on over the holiday break, and then head into Canterbury. So thanks. See you.